Imagine, if you will, this show starting and the music cutting in right when I say the news according to there you go. It was interrupted this morning, and this is the rest of the show. Morning. It is Friday morning. We are live on Podbean. We're also live on Rumble this morning. This is Friday morning live. I'm going to try to do Friday mornings live now for a while. So we'll see how this works out. See how it goes. This is Friday, January 6th, the infamous day, a day that will live in infamy. Get some Mark Dice really hit the nail on the head this morning. He put out a video. He apparently was out talking to people yesterday, or I don't know if it was yesterday or day before. This week, maybe this weekend, and he did his. What he's known for is his man on the street questions, where he asks people, you know, questions that sometimes has ridiculous petitions for them to sign, or he'll ask them questions about history that they have no clue what's going on. Right? He'll ask them stuff like, who's the Speaker of the House? And of course, I guess that's a relevant question right now. Who is the Speaker of the House right now? We don't know. So it's kind of important. And, by the way, speaking of my cup, for those of you who are able to get onto Rumble, and for those, I hate to tell you this, but for those of you on Podbean, this has kind of been a problem. For those of you on Podbean, I basically, we have some listeners on Podbean right now. I am really unable to respond to any comments. Just going to say that right now, because it's really difficult for me to keep Rumble juggled over here and make sure it's still streaming properly. And at the same time, to make sure, especially without my glasses on. I don't have my glasses on this morning. I don't have my contacts in, I should say. So I got to look over at the screen. I look at the screen. It's kind of tough to kind of figure out what's going on. I may not even be broadcasting on Rumble. I don't know. Am I broadcasting on Rumble? I don't know. It says I am. I think it says I am. I don't know. I got screens everywhere. I got all this information coming at me all the time. It's always coming at me. So regardless of that. Okay, so we have interesting stuff to get into. One of the things we're going to get into is my cup. We're not really going to get into my cup. It's not big enough. Maybe I should get a cup that's big enough for me to do the show in. That's what I should do. And the show should be called What's in My Cup? And I could talk about what's in my cup, because I'd be talking about me. I'd be talking about my thoughts, my opinions. Because that's what this show is all about. It's about me. It's in the title, by the way. The news according to me, not according to you, not according to somebody else. It's the news according to me. Mostly this show, it was originally designed to be a show about the news people themselves. I like talking about people who are in the news and what they're saying, you know, what the news is saying about itself, basically. That's what the show was supposed to be about. The podcast was originally that. But I do have a tendency to commentate, if that's even a word, to comment on and give my bloviation on what I think is going on in the news. And I do report on how people are reporting on it. That is still part of the show. It's just not the bulk of the show. Because you can only go so far with these people. You got to say the same thing all the time. MSNBC, constantly hypocritical, constantly. And I love it when they call out other people who are hypocrites. That's just rich. I was watching a little bit of the Young Turks this morning. I was trying to choke down an episode from the Young Turks about something that there was a topic that they were they had brought up, and I was going to try to get some kind of, you know, see what they were saying about it. And of course, Chink Uyghur comes on, and he's just a vulgar individual, just really difficult to listen to him for any length of time at all. And he actually, I wonder if this is the problem. I can't see comments, even if there are any comments. I have no idea if there are comments. Are there comments? Where are the comments? I can put them on this way. No, that's not going to work. I try to put my glasses on here with these headphones on. It doesn't work too well. And there's so much glare off the lights from the. So let's go for a second here. Let's go and see if anybody's. Nobody's chimed in anything on the podcast on the Podbean. There's I'm supposed to be able to see. Where is it at here? Let's go to view stream. Where is it at? View live stream. Let's go to that one. See if I that'll probably slow things down to the point where I can't see anything. Live comments. Yeah, there's no. I don't see any live comments here so far. So we do have some people watching though. However, that's scary. Okay, so we have. I'll try to keep both of these up to the point where I can, well, let me actually put these in a different window. Let me move this around. I got plenty of screen space. I really don't need to see that too much. Oh, here we go. I see what's happened here. Now I'm live. I didn't have the video shot up there. I just, all I had was my screenshot. Now I think I'm going to, let's see how this works. I'm going to try to put a separate screen over here on this side and see if it actually does it small enough that I can see what's going on. With, at least I can see that. No, I've got to be able to see the chats. There we go. All right. I can see comments there, and I hopefully will be able to see comments here. All right. I can at least see the comments. I may not be able to respond to them. That's just the way the life's, that's just the hand that life has dealt you this morning. You can watch the show and can't see anything. And of course, I apologize to those of you who are just listening on through the Castos site, because unfortunately, the first part of the show got cut off. My intro line got cut off. All I said was, "It's a day that we'll live in infamy," or whatever I said. I don't know. You can go to Podbean or go to Apple. You can go to Apple, actually. Apple Podcasts. I think the live show should still be on there, I believe. Spotify, that kind of stuff. So we're broadcasting. This is a little bit late. I was hoping to get on here by 8 o'clock. My one dog in particular has some special needs right now because he had some kind of a cold or something. I don't know what was going on with him. He was hacking up for a while. I don't think it was kennel cough because he didn't act like the other dog with kennel cough. But maybe that's the way he gets kennel cough, because he'd been in a daycare thing for a day, and he came back and he was kind of sick a little bit later. And he was supposed to get some teeth work done. Couldn't get his teeth work done because he had this cold thing going on. He had a lot of mucus in his nose. Normally around the house here we call it snot, but I won't call it that on the show because it's not proper etiquette to say the word snot. So. Just not going to say it. So we have this stuff going on. We have a couple things that are interesting. I'm going to try to play this video. Now I can play the audio. I'm pretty sure I can play the audio and get it to come through. However, I'm not sure I'm going to be able to get. No, it's not. For some reason, that's not even working now. Let me refresh that. I was able to get this on the screen earlier, and I think what I'll have to do is try it again. Yeah, see, it's not playing on my, I think I'm using up too much bandwidth right now. So I'm just going to go back to, see, it's not even letting me do anything on that screen. It's all locked up. Well, there it goes.
Does the date January 6th ring a bell?
It does not, actually.
It does not.
No.
Something happened, something really big.
Now it's not letting me pause it. Okay, there it is. If nothing else, I will play the audio. If I cannot get this thing to play the video and the audio on, as it were, on Rumble, because I'm going to try to pull it up here on Rumble. And if I can get it to do this, then, well, that should work. There we go. I'll just put that in there. Now, this is probably going to play right away. So let me, I'll bring the video over as soon as it starts playing, and we'll just go from there. And hopefully this whole thing is not going to backfire on us. We'll try to play this. It's really interesting. Mark Dice goes out on the street, and he's asking people about January 6th. And, of course, he's got a clip of all these pundits from MSNBC and all over the place talking about how – I can't play this. I was going to try to play it in time and a half so it wouldn't take as long. However, I don't think it's going to allow me to do that. It's not letting me do that at all. So I don't know if that's going to be possible to do or not. Yeah, here it goes. It's going to, as soon as I click on the OK button, it is going to take off. Now, see, what I could do is download these, I guess, and then play them that way. But I don't know. It's not letting me do that either. So I'm not sure exactly how it's going to work. And just play it as a file. That's probably what I should do in the future. Just download. Well, that takes extra time. I mean, it has to play, takes almost as much time as it does just to play the video. So I'm going to try to see if I can make this the right size now for what's going to happen. See how this works out. All right. Anyway, he's out on the street and he's asking these people questions, and he, you hear the news media just making a big deal out of January 6th and how big, it's a bigger day than, you know, there's, and then you got Kamala Harris. There are a couple of things that makes everybody remembers where they knows where they were. You know, there's Pearl Harbor, and then there was, you know, the Twin Towers attack, and then there was January 6th. Seriously. That's what they're putting this up against. Yeah. That's the event that everybody remembers. The world came to a stop, dead stop that day. Yeah. There was a pandemic in there somewhere too, but that's no big deal. This January 6th was a much bigger deal. Yeah, much bigger. So let's play this clip. It is just hilarious, and I wish I could play it faster. I don't know how to play it faster, but it's hopefully it will play the way it's supposed to play. In the future, I will make this work properly, and we can do different things with it. But this is all a big experiment. That's all it is. Just like the United States itself, it's a big experiment. Let's try it here and see if this works. I'm going to hit the play button, and we will go from there. Here we go. I'm going to go to the. I'm going to do this transition thing here. See what is it? Fade. I'm going to fade over. Make this happen here now. Let's see what happens. And you'll see a little emblem there first, and then it's going to see the video play. Hopefully, that's the plan anyway. That's the good. Now I'm gone. And here comes the video.
A classic mistake that a lot of people who want to conceal carry make is they end up getting the wrong holster. And by that, I mean they get a holster that's not comfortable, and so they don't ever end up carrying it.
That's not the one.
Look, if it ain't comfortable and you're not going to carry it, then you may as well not.
Yeah, that's not the one that I meant to put on here. So I'll just go back to the shot with me, and I don't know where that came from. That's really bizarre. Okay, so I copy that URL into here. And let's see what happens. That's the one. Why is it showing me that video with this video? Yeah, that's not working properly. So now I have to get rid of that. Yeah, I apologize. Okay, let's just remove that one. Yes, remove that. And let's add this other one. Why will it not allow me to? Well, anyway. So let's play the audio for this thing, just so you can hear it. This is the beginning of the end, apparently, according to, he jumps right into this thing. It's kind of a little bit hard to do, but at least this way I can play it twice as fast. I'm going to play it at 1.5 times speed. So let's go with that. Here it is. This is Mark Dice on the street making some interesting comments.
It does not, actually.
It does not.
No.
Something happened, something really big. A lot of people won't stop complaining about it.
Don't send me your, are you still talking about the insurrection? Yes. And we're going to continue to talk about it.
You never heard about it?
I have not.
No? Okay. Well, good for you. You're lucky that way. I'm going to get a headache. I keep hearing about it so much.
They are making fun of these remembrances. They are pretending like we are all hysterical.
Certain dates echo throughout history, including dates that instantly remind all who have lived through them where they were and what they were doing.
No. Have you heard that being talked about at all?
Not at all.
Not at all.
December 7th, 1941. September 11th, 2001.
Did she say December 2nd or December 7th?
No.
Something.
I think she said December
2nd. Happened.
What's that?
I'm going to keep talking about it.
I'm just saying that the mainstream media's propaganda is actually having an effect. And thankfully, it's not as effective as they would hope.
I'm going to keep talking about it.
Stay tuned, because there's plenty more to come in this video. But real quick, subscribe to the channel if you're new here. Check back on a regular basis. What happened on January 6th?
I don't know.
No, something happened. The some people won't stop complaining about it. We're just getting people's
opinions. Couldn't tell you about it.
And we're just getting people's opinions on.
I don't know what January 6th is.
There's never been a bigger or more important story in American history than this.
This is the most important story in the history of the Republic.
These January 6th hearings are remarkable. They are riveting.
The hearings last night, they were searing, they were vivid.
It was compelling, it was chilling. The videos were chilling, and I think it's going to be historic.
This was just, a historic, compelling.
I think so much
hearing.
Of themselves.
This is very compelling. Television, because it's a very compelling hearing, and it's compelling. It's must-see TV.
What happened on January 6th?
No idea. What? What happened on January 6th?
It was a mostly peaceful protest, and some people got a little carried away and caused some trouble, and, you know, the fake news won't stop complaining about it.
Where is this, like?
This is in Washington, D.C.
Oh,
at the Capitol.
Oh, yeah.
This is treason. This is insurrection.
Treason. This is treason.
This is rebellion. Period.
I don't know. I think a lot of those things are staged. You guys know about, like, false flag events?
Oh, yeah. Major provocateurs?
Yeah. So the FBI has been, like, caught a lot. Basically, like, they will infiltrate, or they will start something and then get people to join them.
It's not woke. He's awake.
That, like, it was, I think it was, like,
Gretchen Whitner's 12.
Kidnapping yeah, like, 12 out of... 12 out of
we got someone who can see.
12 out of the 14 people were FBI agents.
There are people out here who have a brain.
Yeah.
They do exist.
Yeah.
Speaking of noise, I keep hearing noise about January 6th. People won't stop complaining about it.
About what?
January 6th.
What about it?
Something happened and... People won't stop complaining about it. Have you heard that?
No, I haven't.
I've been texting with a number of sources. I was texting people live during the hearing. The words that I was hearing from them were stomach-turning, riveting, compelling. Oh, one senator told me that he had a lump in his throat.
A lump in my throat.
You haven't heard of, like,
because
a big...
some bad
shot. It was like a huge, you know, event that happened. Horrifying, really scary thing. Made a lot of people cry.
Yeah, I guess it hasn't gotten to
he's showing, he's showing an Adam Kinzinger crying.
Okay. Tell me about it.
Well, what I saw might have got a little bit rowdy, but all in all... I wouldn't have been scared to be there, even if I was on the inside and had a badge on my chest.
Of course, he's showing a video of a police officer walking around
with
protesters. We're
just testing the effectiveness of the liberal propaganda to see, because they're trying to turn it into the new 9/11.
9/11 is nothing compared to January 6th.
That was Peter Strzok, by the way.
The January 6th attack on American democracy.
He's now a commentator as well, boss.
CNN. Incident that's ever happened in the 246 years of the American Constitutional Republic.
This is so much worse than something like Watergate.
What happened?
So much worse than Watergate.
So much worse than Watergate.
Really?
Worse than Watergate
by 100 degrees.
Orders of magnitude worse than Watergate.
January 6th.
It's a huge, monumental day in history. People won't stop talking about it. Talk about it every single day because it was such a big deal. Tell me what happened on that day.
You gotta give me some background. I mean, I'll let you know. It's a lot of history in my head. It's a lot of history. Give me like a...
It was in Washington, D.C.
Yeah.
Tell me about it.
Wrong guy.
Nobody will stop talking about January 6th.
A lot of history in my head. He has no clue.
Absolutely nothing. You want to know why?
Yeah.
Because it's all a lie.
Oh.
What does the liberal media say happened on January 6th?
Well, they're claiming insurrection, but I've yet to see someone get charged with insurrection. So why are they calling it insurrection?
Come on now, sir. People were waving American flags.
Well, yeah, I think they're a little upset because, the election was...
And, can't say that on YouTube. We're going to have to edit that out when free speech is not allowed on this platform.
I think we're living in a very dangerous time right now, and I think people need to wake the hell up.
Yeah.
Right?
That will be a violation of terms of service. Soon saying that there's a Marxist takeover underway will be a violation of terms of service. But I do agree with you, sir. People won't stop talking about January 6th.
Okay.
What are your thoughts?
It was January 6th.
It was January 6th?
It was.
And what do you think about that?
What do you think about January 6th?
I hate the winter, so I don't
want to January 6th. Yeah, January 6th. Yeah,
I hate the winter.
Cold day. Cold and rainy
much,
day.
Yeah. AC wasn't working.
No.
Wouldn't help.
Any other events happened, maybe of note on that day?
Not that I can think of.
I can't stop hearing about January 6th, so tell me.
This guy knows all about it.
Well, the president gave a rally and told people to go over and peacefully protest and have their voices heard.
Yep.
A bunch of people went there. There were some agitators amongst them. And they went into the Capitol. Many of them were shooed in by the Capitol Police.
We got someone here who can think.
Since that time, the Democrats have been making more of this than they should, particularly Nancy Pelosi. She never said one word about all the protests that killed police officers in the 9 months prior to that. They cheered it. They had funds built up to let people out of jail. But if you protest in Washington, D.C., then they put you in solitary confinement for 6 months.
Yeah.
It's a disgrace.
Someone who should be arrested, however, is Dr. Fauci. And if you agree, order my new arrest.
So this is the disconnect between the legacy media companies and the reality of where people really are in this country. Now, I'm sure he's editing. He's not just, you know, asking every single person. He might have found somebody who knew what was going on January 6th. That, you know, that had seen CNN and they're obsessed with Donald Trump and that whole thing. He might have found somebody because he's out in California. I'm sure he's going to run into somebody. He might have interviewed 100 people and found these, you know, these five. We don't know about that. I would assume that there was probably a lot of editing going on here with some of the people that he asked questions of. However, it's brilliant, you know, that he points out there's a lot of people out there. If this was as bad as 9/11, if this was as bad as Watergate, you mentioned January 6th, then everybody's going to know what happened, especially 9/11. There's still people today that probably he could probably find. If he asked 1,000 people out there what happened on 9/11, they probably wouldn't know. That's the day that they dropped the bomb on Hiroshima. You never know. The public has, is a product of, unfortunately, of public schools, public school system. Now, I'm not saying that all public schools are bad, but there is, by and large, a really serious problem in our public school system. I had the fortune, I think, to attend public school at a time when it was in a place, which I think it still is. I think my high school, when you get out here in the breadbasket of the country, when you get out here in what they call the flyover states, it seems that the the tolerance for all the woke stuff is much lower. And school systems are still, they're dragging their feet with a lot of this stuff. They're still absorbing it. They're still teaching it. It still works its way into the school system. Back when we had textbooks, it was much more difficult to change history every year. I don't know if kids even have textbooks anymore. I think everybody has an iPad in school now. Maybe not. Maybe they still have textbooks. I don't know. I haven't found out yet. I need to check into that because I really wonder how many kids are even reading from textbooks anymore. They would change the textbooks once in a while, every several years, come out with a new history book or something. And now it can be changed during class. You could be in the middle of class reading something about history and it could be changed in front of you with an update. So this is literally 1984, if you get a chance to read the book. You might be able to understand what's going on here with the media and how definitely prognosticated that book was in terms of, predicting some things, seeing where things were going. Now, when you start to understand how marketing and big tech and the money flow, you really only have to understand the man's basic problem, man's basic fault. And you build it from there, and it's always the same problem. And of course, that feeds on itself. So the thing, if you will, that we run into is people are basically, at their core, they are selfish individuals. We are selfish beings. The most generous people I know are still extremely selfish. There are people who are very good at looking like they're generous. This is where Jesus rebuked the Pharisees when he was talking about he wasn't just rebuking the Pharisees. Everybody, anybody who blows their trumpet when they go to put their tithes in the offering basket. Hey, look at me! Look at me! I'm giving this money over here. Look at me! How I'm going to make a big deal out of this. Now, yes, God wants us to be joyful in our giving. I have to say, that there was a time in my life when it was very difficult to give because I just wasn't making much money. And sometimes I would have $7 or $8 left in my wallet, and I didn't know where the next money was coming from. And you know what I did? I was just like, I just put it all on the plate. It was kind of a futile offering. And it's only $7. There it is. It's just, if I spend it, it's going to be gone in 5 minutes. If I spend it, or no, what's the difference? Whether I spend $7 now or spend $7 later, or just give it away, just flush it down the toilet, whatever it is. But you know, that was kind of my attitude. And I don't think God was appreciative of that, actually. You know, being a cheerful giver is something very different. Now, giving within your means is also not such a big deal. The widow's mite, may I, for example, when the widow's mite is given, she gives like a penny. And somebody else gives a whole bunch of money. And Jesus makes it very clear. Messiah says, she's given more than anybody else. The, you know, giving within your means, it's all a good thing. It's all good. Don't think you're a big giver. It was an experience in a church recently. I was on staff at the church for a while, and this was after I had resigned from my position. We were still there for about 9 months. And during that time, I guess because my wife and I tithe, we were invited to a special dinner at the church. And we were considered the, how'd they call it, the significant donors to the church. Call it the big giver meal. It was a dinner to thank those who had given throughout the past year. This is several years ago. This is probably 10 years ago, maybe more. And it was difficult for me to go to the dinner. I went to the dinner. My wife did not go. I think she was working or something was going on. Went to the dinner, and I didn't even plan to stay. I didn't even really want to go. And I didn't eat anything. I just kind of sat off in the corner. It was kind of an informal, formal event. It was just kind of tables everywhere. It was kind of at a lodge type setting, and people could kind of sit where they wanted to. So I chose to kind of sit off to the side. It was kind of sickening into my stomach that this was even happening. I really didn't want to go, but I just felt like God told me to go. Because I was kind of appalled at the whole thing. You see, when someone makes $300,000 a year. There was a couple there that I knew that both of them, the husband and the wife, they were both doctors. And I know that both of them were making more than six-figure incomes, well into six figures. If someone gives $60,000 a year to the church, not too big of a deal, really. It's not difficult for them. The two of them, I don't even think they had any children that year. Two of them making that kind of money, giving to the church $60,000. Now, that was probably 10% of their income. You take that couple, if they were making $35,000 or $40,000 a year, or let's say they're making $60,000 a year, and they've got a couple little kids. and they give $6,000 of their income. Well, that's a little bit more difficult now, isn't it? And I know that there were people there making less than $50,000 a year into the 30s and 40s who had a couple kids who were struggling. And they were giving. You see, it's much tougher even though the percentage was the same. There's still that baseline amount of money that you've got to make in order to pay the bills and live a decent lifestyle. Now, some people just live beyond their means. They live beyond their means, and then they say that, well, I don't have enough money. I can't afford to tithe. Okay, that's between you and God. I'm not going to get involved in that. I'm not going to legalistically come to you and say, you've got to do this. What I am going to say is this. Giving is its own reward. I hear people saying, well, you know, you got to give. You got to be a giver. You got to give, and God will give back to you. God will increase. You know, you donate to this ministry, and God will increase. You give you increase. That's the whole name it, claim it, kind of blab it and gab it, grab it stuff. It's just, there's the prosperity gospel thing. That's been around. It's always been around. It's an affront to God, in my opinion. I don't think God's not a slot machine. He's just all kinds of different things like that. It's just, I could go on and on about that whole, everything that's wrong with that kind of theology. What needs to change is the character, the spirit that you're giving from, the heart of the giver. That's what God's trying to work on. When you start to find the joy in giving, that's where God wants your heart. It is incredibly encouraging and joyful now when I give to something. It's fun to be in that position. And it's been a long road to get to that point where now I can just give. And it's not always a matter of giving. Boy, it's not a matter of giving with, just because I have excess. It's not it at all. So I think it's important we realize that it's just a. God doesn't need your money. He wants to change your heart. He's a giver. And he wants you to find the joy in giving that he finds in giving, in providing, in blessing. There's more ways to bless people than just money. If you think that just every time you get money, you praise God. Well, thank God. Oh, praise God, I got some money. Oh, I got a free meal. Oh, praise God. Well, that's all well and good. But if that's all you're praising him for, then money is your God. And it's all about you and what you get. I'm finding more, praise God, I was able to give to that thing. I was able to give into that. I was able to sow into that. I don't care what I get back. That's giving is its own reward. That's what I'm saying. The blessing that just comes from being able to give, knowing what it was like to be in a position that I could not give. I could not be a provider. I could not be someone who was able to enable a ministry or a business or a person. Yesterday I was in an airport. And apparently all the credit card machines were down in the whole at least in that whole area that I was in, the whole terminal. It was nobody at the restaurants could accept anything but cash. And I went to one restaurant. They said, our credit card machines are down. I said, well, I'll go to the next one. So I went to the next one and found out, oh, it's the whole thing. So the whole terminal is down. I happened to carry a little bit of cash. I usually don't carry much cash, but I had just enough. I had enough to, a little bit more than enough. I mean, I carry a little emergency money, but I had, I went into this little place to get some Chinese food. It's a Panda. They're not sponsoring the show, by the way. Went in there, and the lady behind me, she walked up, and she said, oh, no. She goes, no, so I don't. She was obviously from another country. She said, I don't have a credit card. I don't have anything but a credit card. She didn't have any cash. One of the reasons I carry cash around is not just for myself. It's emergency fund for anyone around me. Anyone that comes across my path that needs something. So I handed her a $20 bill, and I said, you know what? Just get whatever you need. And I walked off. It's awesome to be in that kind of situation. And you never know what kind of effect that might have on her life for the rest of her life. Hopefully. So, having said, I don't know how I got off onto this discussion, actually. Just knowing that people are generally selfish. I'm still selfish. And sometimes people give for the good feeling they get out of giving, or because they feel like they're doing something right, or they want other people to see them giving. Those are all the wrong reasons. But I'm probably guilty of it all the time too. There's times when I've given and I've realized, you know, that was kind of proud of the fact that I was able to give, or I was kind of wanted to be there's almost this kind of, it's a sneaky little thing that sneaks in sometimes. The enemy starts to mess with our heart. I don't know what just happened to my. Where did that go? Oh, look, there's been people commenting in my. I've been unable to see what they're saying. Let's see what they say. Ah, yes. People there. Some people are listening to the show. I can't see what they're saying. So that was Mark Dice's thing. Was really interesting. And what I found interesting about it was how much people really are totally unaware about January 6th. And yet the news media would have you believe that it's the biggest event since 9/11, since Pearl Harbor. They want it to be a big deal, but they've been trying to make it a big deal ever since they started producing the whole show back on January 6th a couple of years ago. Because it was a made-for-television action. It didn't turn out the way they wanted it to. It wasn't as big of a deal, but they tried to make it into a big deal. Nancy Pelosi has a renowned, world-renowned documentary expert, her daughter, following around with a cell phone probably, to make this documentary of Nancy Pelosi on the day of January 6th. She thought she was going to have cash and gold. Now we're finding out now that in the real investigation that's going on into documents. In fact, John Solomon was on last night. I think he was on the Lars Larson show last night, and he was talking about because he was there. He was around at the time. He said what was actually happening was, and they actually interviewed the guy who was in charge of security, the guy who resigned from the Capitol Police right after the January 6th event. He resigned, and the reason he resigned was because he was being set up. For months before the event, he was asking for National Guard troops, just like they had before. The general staffing on a day-to-day basis, whenever there's an event at all at the Capitol, was about three or four times more than what they had there that day. Nancy Pelosi says she tried to wash her hands of it and say she has nothing to do with the security at the Capitol building. If she orders something to be done at the Capitol, she is the one that it happens. She is in charge of it. It all falls under her purview. It was her administrative people who were saying, no, stand down. We don't want the optics of having the National Guard there. The FBI, of course, had information about a potential insurrection happening, or this event that was going to happen. People are going to attack the Capitol. But guess what? There were people, because the reason they knew was because they had FBI infiltrators. And when you look at the whole Gretchen Whitmer thing, like that one guy brought up, 12 out of the 14 people were informants. Ray Epps, talked about him on the show. None of that adds up at all. None of it adds up at all. If you listen to the deposition, if you read the deposition, it makes no sense. His answers don't even apply to the questions that were being asked. It's just the weirdest situation. That's probably the weakest link that they have, that they've discovered. I'm sure that there are others as well. He just happens to be the one who was recorded and brought up and mentioned. I'm sure there was others. And how many people, you know, that day who were just standing around, you know, you see videos of the police standing down, backing up, opening the doors. And it almost sickens me to my stomach. The way they literally used Officer Sicknick after the event. Here's a man who has a stroke the next day or the day after or whatever it was. Passes away. And they lay his body in state in the rotunda. The deadly insurrection. They killed a Capitol Police officer. Kind of makes you wonder. Yeah, I won't go there. That's pretty deep into a theory. You know, and of course, the only person who actually died that day physically was shot that day. Was an unarmed individual shot by a security detail person, wasn't even a Capitol Police officer. Walks up, fires one shot, kills her. It's disgusting what we've seen under the Nancy Pelosi regime. It's absolutely disgraceful. It's disgusting. And she stands up there, talks about decorum. She talks about the hallowed walls of the Temple of Democracy. It's pathetic and it's sickening what she's done. And of course, now the Democrats are playing the fiddle now, dancing around, thinking it's fun, eating popcorn, whatever they're doing, while the Republicans are trying to figure out the whole situation with the House Speaker. Kevin McCarthy apparently has taken some serious concessions. Now, I don't want to bring this up. Well, yesterday's show, it might have been the day before, I was talking about a particular congresswoman who was, I was talking about her body language and the way she was talking to Kevin McCarthy. I didn't mention her name. However, this morning I wake up and, of course, there's a body language person that I subscribe to on YouTube. And I saw the whole thing live. I saw it on a live feed while they were, you know, they're always talking about, always playing the live House stuff while they're also commenting on a news show. So I was listening to the news show and they were playing this video. And the video feed happened to be her talking to Kevin McCarthy. And I was appalled at the whole scene. The whole scene was uncomfortable for me to watch. And sure enough, this body language expert pulls up that scene and starts talking about it and talking about how uncomfortable they were with the whole scene and what all was going on there. And what I hadn't noticed, and maybe this is what makes it most uncomfortable, is the way Kevin McCarthy reacted to this representative. That's probably what actually made it the most uneasy. However, I wasn't aware of that was kind of the whole thing that made it most uneasy. Now, I guess MTG, she's a hip hop artist now. I'll mention her name. It's Marjorie Taylor Greene. Apparently, she's got a divorce now. Her husband filed for divorce about 3 months ago, apparently. I won't get into the reasons why and all the stuff, all the drama that's going on back behind that. It's her business. But, so apparently she is going to be single again. I thought she was married. Apparently she's not married, but that, regardless of that, it's still kind of disgusting the way she was acting. Kevin McCarthy is married, as far as I know. But I found it fascinating that so I was kind of my feelings were validated, I guess. I felt like, okay, so maybe I was onto something there. Maybe I'm uncomfortable for a reason, because there is something weird going on there. So anyway, I just wanted to throw that little tidbit in there. Now, the other thing that's going on is this whole thing with the House. Tucker Carlson has been pretty much hammering Kevin McCarthy in this whole thing. And of course, now the MSNBC and CNN are all their commentators are saying, well, you know, now all of a sudden Fox News is saying that it's a good thing that there's turmoil in the House. They're trying to spin it around and say it's a good thing. It is a good thing. In fact, one individual, maybe was it Biggs? Who was it that got up and made a speech in the House and said, this is a healthy process. This is what it looks like. We don't just fall in line with the party, you know. This is how things are worked out. We have disagreements. That's what it is. It's a big word. Disagreementation. There's a particular culture. I don't know if you've noticed it or not. I'm not gonna delve too far into this, but there's a particular culture. When they speak, they're actually fairly. You can tell when it's an uneducated person who likes to put shun behind about every word they say, which makes them, that's supposedly make them sound smarter, I guess. I don't know. They'll speak something like, and then there's the anticipation shun. It's not even, they'll put the the ending of the word, they'll have like an ecclative or shun or a experiential. They'll put some kind of a shull at the end or whatever. So something likeish to a. I can't even think of an example right now, but it's just, it becomes speculationative. You know, it's like they'll add the it's like instead of just saying speculation or speculate, they'll say speculationative. They'll add all this extra stuff on. It just, it's like, you do realize that's not actually a word. You can't. I make up words once in a while, and I kind of mean to. I mean, I'm kind of, now I'm sure I do it accidentally occasionally. But one thing I don't say is especially. Now, I saw a meme the other day, and it said, hell for me will be, how is it? Hell for me will be having to be between one person who constantly says especially and the other person says, what was the other word? There was two words. Oh, irrespective. Or irregardless, that's what it was. Irregardless, because irrespective is actually a word. Irregardless and especially. And now, for some reason, I can't get now. I bet 90% of the people I hear say the word especially say especially. And of course, ever since I've seen that meme, I've noticed it more now. And it is driving me nuts. It is driving me absolutely nuts. Every time I watch a video and somebody says especially, because they're trying to be smart. They're trying to sound smart and say it properly. You're not saying it properly, dude. Especially. There's no, it's just an ES sound, okay? It's just an ESP. Not ek. There's no K in there. There's no C. There's no CH. It's just especially. Irregardless is not a word either. It's just regardless. Irregardless is not a word. I guess if we want to make it a word, then that's how words are designed. I mean, it wasn't we didn't just pop out of the womb and these are the words you have to know. It's we can say however we want, but at the same time, it just bothers me. So, having said all that, look, I've got how many more people do I have listening to the show here? I got a few in here. I had a couple of hearts. I got a couple of likes. On the Podbean thing. I got several, actually. Got a whole bunch of them. Appreciate that. Appreciate, folks, for those of you listening on Podbean, or whether you're listening however you're listening through Podbean, whether it be on Spotify or however, whatever kind of thing you're listening to. I do appreciate you listening, commenting, and you know, feel free to have a chat within the chat box there with each other while you're in there. Just don't wait on me. Because I'm not going to make any comments. I've got too many things I'm juggling here. One is I'm juggling all this stuff in my head. I got all these things in my mind that I'm trying to juggle. At the same time, I'm trying to make sure all my technology stays in place and keeps working. Because right now it's showing that the stream is good. So hopefully the stream is good. And that's what I'm assuming. So I'm just assuming it's all working okay. So let's see if I have any other comments in the live. Where did it go? Where did my live stream go? I don't see it now. What happened there? Did it go away? Am I still streaming? I should be still streaming. Okay. Well, let's hope I'm still streaming. It says it's waiting for stream. Have I been doing this the whole time and I'm not streaming? No, it says I'm streaming. So I don't know. I don't know what's going on. I have no idea. Huh. Maybe I went to... Nope. Yep. Leave that page. Where am I? I don't see myself at all. Anyway, regardless of all that, folks, I hope you've had a great week. I hope you have a great weekend. I have to bring the show to a close here. Just remember, this is January 6th, a day that will live in infamy, and we will figure out at some point how to get through this day, all the tear jerking moments. So the weekend coming up, I will probably not have a show over the weekend. However, next week, it looks like every day I will be able to have a show in the morning. I have work to do in the afternoon and evening every week. I'll be up in Appleton, Wisconsin next week. So it looks as if that will work out, that I will be able to have a show every day. Now, I don't know for sure, but that's the plan. Hopefully still be able to have a show that's live on Friday. I might even be able to have a live show, at least on the audio section, on a day through the week. So God bless. Shabbat Shalom. Have a great weekend.